Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The GRE, short for Graduate Records Exam, has for decades loomed large over grad students trying for master's and doctoral degrees. The standardized test was required for studies like philosophy, chemistry, literature, medicine. But in recent years, more grad admissions offices have been making the test optional or ignoring it altogether. Jad Slayman of WHYY's The Pulse looked into why.
Joshua Hall had his sights set on a doctoral microbiology program. He'd taken and retaken his GRE practice tests in the dorms. On the big day, he was ready.
So I sat down, I began my test, and I remember at that time there was a section called the analytical section, and this was actually the section that I tended to do the best on.
Enter a villain, the woman sitting next to him.
She was super loud, like she was crumbling some papers up and was just trying to get situated. And it was so distracting. And the more distracted I got, the more nervous I became. I remember sweating, thinking, oh my gosh, I need to do well on this.
He did not. He bombed hard. He had to take the test again, but he did get into grad school. That was some 20 years ago. Hall went on to become Director of Graduate Admissions at the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill School of Medicine. And maybe his own experience with the GRE made him a little suspicious, but he noticed something. Evaluating all of these students, seeing their GRE scores, then watching their progress.
There didn't seem to be a correlation between the students who had the highest aptitude in the lab and the students who were getting the best GRE scores. So, you know, I'm a researcher by training. I'm a scientist.
He did some science. He compared GRE scores and student performance, then brought his results to the admissions faculty in 2017.
It really was in some ways like going up against a firing squad. It was like, wait, what do you mean the GRE isn't useful? How could it not be useful? We've been using it for all this time.
He demonstrated that the GRE isn't all that great at predicting who succeeds in grad school. And studies at other institutions show the test isn't a very good predictor of who actually finishes a graduate program.
But I can say, you know, the individuals involved in admissions committees for science programs are scientists themselves.
Which is to say, they couldn't ignore the research. UNC's medical school made the GRE optional this year. Hall ended up compiling a list of other schools that don't require the test, and he shared it on social media.
And it really just took off from there.
It was 10 schools last year. Today, it's more than 130. And that's just in the biomedical field.
We've seen first a trickle and then a surge of individual graduate departments determining that the GRE was not a good tool to select entering grad school applicants.
That's Bob Schaefer with the National Center for Fair and Open Testing. He's a sworn enemy of basically every standardized test, including the GRE. To Schaefer, the real harm of the test isn't that it's a bad predictor of student success. It's that it seems to favor whiter, wealthier students. Minorities and poorer students tend to do worse on the test. The GRE people are aware of this. I talked to David Payne, VP of Global Education at Educational Testing Service, the company that makes the test.
Privileged students that come from high-income neighborhoods, those students, on average, are going to have a better educational experience than students who come from areas with less access to resources.
Payne says, actually, the test is supposed to level the playing field. Richer, whiter students have a better chance of getting into grad school because they tend to come from more prestigious undergrad programs. And he says rampant grade inflation at these places compounds their advantage.
So if you're an underrepresented minority starting at a non-selective public university, you've got two strikes against you when you're applying to a selective PhD program.
The idea is an underrepresented student can study hard and bootstrap up from some lackluster state school and into a top grad program on the strength of a high GRE score. But a whole industry has sprung up around the test, prepping students on the questions, teaching strategies to be faster, score higher. Courses can run thousands of dollars. There's plenty of free test prep material out there too, but all this might not matter sooner rather than later as more schools go test optional. Emory University's chemistry department won't even accept test results. Simon Blakely, director of graduate studies, explains why.
Just having those numbers there, it impacts human decision making. You can't ignore the numbers.
They won't so much as look at your GRE scores. Instead, they look for GRIT, for grit.
When letters of recommendation describe very specific accomplishments and evidence that they've overcome challenges, that they're resilient.
Emory is a private university, very selective. Blakely says the GRE's biases, favoring the richer, the whiter, that narrows the talent pool. The university could miss out on the very best applicants.
People's life experiences will lead them to think about problems differently, and they will lead them to think about different things as being problems.
More diverse people with PhDs and master's degrees, he says, means richer, more diverse academic inquiry. And for students looking at grad programs, more schools opting out of the GRE means one less standardized test to pay for and stress out over. For Here and Now, I'm Jad Slaman.